Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
We need to harden the target. We need to get down to one or two entrances into our schools. You have the necessary exits for fire, of course, but we have to funnel our students into our schools so we can put eyes on them. This young man showed up with a trench coat, which he wore often, I've learned, and he had a gun under it. And he came through one of the entrances undetected.
That's Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. He's basically saying we need one or two entrances. We're finding a lot more out about this shooter, including this.
Every time he'd kill someone, he'd say, another one bites the dust.
He would walk around shooting people, singing the song from Queen.
Another one bites the dust, yeah.
So, in terms of this shooter who didn't kill himself...
Yeah, he surrendered.
We got him.
Yeah.
Yep. There are a lot of legal questions, because he's 17 years old.
So let's ask Monica Lindstrom, Mac and Gatos legal expert. Monica, is the death penalty on the table for this 17-year-old alleged murderer?
It is not. And even though Texas has always been a big proponent of the death penalty, and up until recently, I believe it was the top state when it came to the actual executions that it carried out or the number of executions.
Right.
But there was a Supreme Court case that came out and said that you cannot sentence juveniles, and he's 17, you cannot sentence juveniles to the death penalty, and you can't keep them in prison forever. That would be considered cruel and unusual punishment.
Oh, so he's up for parole.
Yeah, he will not be facing the death penalty, and he will not be in prison for the rest of his life if he's found guilty.
Wow.
Wait a second.
I did not know the parole part. Wow.
Hold on a second. This guy murdered 10 people. How do you ever get out of jail?
Well, the way the Supreme Court saw it and the decision that it's made, it basically has to do with the brain of a juvenile, right? Now, prosecutors can charge him as an adult, which I believe that they have, and they'll go forward with that, which means that he can have the same type of punishment or the same punishment an adult would have in this situation, except for no death penalty, and they can't be in prison forever. Again, cruel and unusual punishment, but they're talking about the brain in juveniles. I mean, we all joke about how women or girls mature faster than boys. Well, it is true. When you look at it at that level, the boys, the risk factor in their brain and some other things that I don't even know that I don't know because I'm not a scientist, they don't develop as quickly. So the juvenile brain is a lot different than the male brain. And sometimes, I'm sorry, the adult brain. And sometimes they can't quite appreciate the wrongfulness of their actions. I know what you're going to say.
It's unbelievable.
But that's the rationale behind it.
Is that the Lee Boyd Malvo, the D.C. sniper? Is that where this is coming from, that a judge said he shouldn't have to spend the rest of his time in jail? Is that where the decision was overturned? Because I heard that argument, too, when he was on trial.
This was a decision that came out in 1993.
Okay.
And then there was another case that came out a little bit later in 2012 that had to do with mandatory life without parole for juveniles. And so basically what we're looking at is he'll be eligible for parole after 40 years, but he cannot get life in prison without the opportunity of ever getting out, and he cannot get the death penalty even if the prosecutor continues to prosecute him as an adult, which I'm fairly certain they will.
But can't they keep turning his parole down?
And then, you have to qualify for parole.
Right,
yes.
After 40.
That's the Charles Manson thing, that he was up for parole for after heinous crimes,
but he
was always turned down.
But is he guaranteed to get out in 40 years?
It's not a guarantee. I believe you have to qualify for parole. So now each state could be a little bit different, but that's why you have a parole hearing, right? You have to go in front of the parole board or something similar to that. It's your due process.
All right.
And they talk to you and try to figure out whether you should be released or not.
Monica Lindstrom, a Mac and Gatos legal expert, joining us from the Big Four at four big blockbuster news stories. We're talking about the Santa Fe shooter and the legality of whether he should actually get, or I guess the Constitution or the laws allow him to get the death penalty. Monica says no.
Can't get it because he's 17. He may get out of jail one day because it's cruel and unusual punishment to
right.
keep
and it's not
someone
a question
under age.
Of should he, because I think that's a moral decision that everybody makes in their own mind, but it's can he, and the answer is no, not the way the law stands right now.
Can the father of this killer be held liable because it was the father who owned the guns and it was his son who used them to kill 10 people?
You know, that's a great question, and that's something that I think our country needs to be talking about is child access prevention laws, exactly like it sounds, child access prevention laws. Hardly any states have these, maybe a handful have them, where somebody can be prosecuted if they fail to lock up their firearms so that children can't get to them. And even though he was 17, he's still considered a child. He was able to get to these guns. So in Texas, the prosecutor could try to go after maybe manslaughter charges. Those have happened in the past, but I'm not sure if that will go very far because, you know, how much did the father know? How many guns were laying around? Not just these two. You know, did the father know that he had a tendency to go after these guns or that his son would do something like this? But as of right now, in Texas, there are no child access prevention laws, so the prosecutor would need to find some other weapons charge, such as, you know, the manslaughter, or maybe he's a prohibited possessor, or a sawed-off shotgun, I believe, is illegal in Texas,
right,
which he could be prosecuted for.
Well, it's legal with a permit. Sawed-off shotgun is legal with a permit.
And he didn't have a permit, right?
So the dad could be brought up on charges for having an illegal firearm, but that's nothing close to the amount of destruction his own son did.
Right. And let's not forget, there's criminal and there's civil. So his father and his mother could be charged, well, not charged, but a lawsuit filed against them for this as well.
Monica Lindstrom, Mack and Gatos legal expert. There's also a report that the sheriff's office is waiting for the determining factor of autopsy results to determine how eight students and two teachers died. There is a number of reports out that say that the sheriff's office thinks that maybe, just maybe, a resource officer or law enforcement people may have killed people during the 25-minute fight or firefight with this guy.
Some people may have been caught in the crossfire,
right,
and killed by a deputy.
Would those deputies be held or be charged with anything in or with a crime because somebody was killed as they were trying to get to the actual shooter?
If they were criminally negligent, it could happen. So if the prosecutor could show that they acted so far beyond what they've been trained to do, or they didn't use the proper precautions, or they didn't follow procedure and how they've been trained, then perhaps that could be a charge. It could. Civilly, they could bring a lawsuit against them as well if there was something there. I find it unlikely just because you would have to have that criminally negligent circumstance, and if you're caught in a firefight and you're trying to save people and someone's killed by friendly fire, not that that's a risk of the job, but it kind of is. Mm.
Monica Lindstrom, Mack and Gatos legal expert. Thanks, Monica.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, I don't think a good prosecutor would bring any charges against the law enforcement officials.
No.
Even though it's tragic if the autopsies do confirm that friendly fire caused some of the deaths.
I'm just horrified that this guy could get out of jail one day. I can't believe that.
I am too.
I totally get you can't give him the death penalty because he's under 18.
He's too young, right.
Okay, I'm fine with that. But there's got to be a way to make sure that if he comes up for parole, you know, 40 years from now, you just figure out a way to say no.
At the review board, at the parole hearing board, you have victim testimony. You have these kids 40 years later come back and testify that it has impacted their lives, and that will sway the parole board to not let this guy out.
But from what Monica said, you got to let him out sometime. He's got to be let out of jail sometime.
Now, see, I did not hear that. All I heard was he has access to parole.
Cruel and unusual punishment to keep him in jail for the rest of his life.
But we talked about this with the kid up in St. John's. If a kid goes into prison when he's 8... Is it a waste of life for him to get out at, say, 58 when he spent all of his time in prison? And then when you're out at 58, do you have a life at 58?
And why would you want to put that person on the street? I don't.
Exactly.
No, I don't let him out of jail. I don't let him do it again.
You have access to parole, but there are ways to keep him in prison if you can sway the parole board. And that's what they did with Manson. Every parole hearing, Manson's family of the victims would come forward and just relive what happened.
The only reason that this murderer has a chance of getting out of jail is because of how old he is.
Because he was 6 months younger than 18.
That's BS, man. That,
18 is when you're considered adult.
You kill 10 people, and you actually have a chance to get out of jail. There's something wrong with that.
Even when you're charged as an adult.
That is absolutely absurd. You're listening to the Big Four at 4. four big blockbuster stories. We still got three big blockbuster stories to go.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story Two.
Phoenix is aiming for a 2023 Super Bowl. Major Special Events Administrator for Phoenix, Roxanne Favors, says the city is excited at the possibility of hosting a fourth Super Bowl. Today, the city council is scheduled to consider a resolution expressing support. It also authorizes the Super Bowl host committee to bid for the big game and its related events.
All right, so the big game is most likely coming back to the state of Arizona. The last time the Super Bowl was here was 2015. And the gross economic impact of that was $720 million on Arizona.
You can't ignore that. I mean, that is just a staggering amount of money.
Bring it back. Arizona does a great job with the Super Bowl.
And I think we also read, too, a couple months ago, if I remember, that Glendale would not be responsible for all the security, I think, now. I think that's going to be with DPS. And so that's a weight lifted off of the city of Glendale because they kept complaining. Okay, it's great to have it here, but my goodness, it stretches our resources too much.
So, 1996 was the first time the Super Bowl was here.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even believe that they brought the Super Bowl here in 1996.
That was at Sun Devil Stadium.
Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about paying a lot of money to go see a game and sit on a hot bench?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because that stadium is terrible. And then, of course, 2008, 2015, and now the Super Bowl is going to come back to Arizona. Is Glendale going to, because Glendale, they pitch a fit every time the Super Bowl comes out here. We don't have any money. We pay too much money. I'm not a big fan of it. I remember back in 2015, we put the mayor on, and we said, why do you keep bellyaching about the Super Bowl? Remember him and Bill and Michael Bidwell just kept going at it Super Bowl week? Bidwell's like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. It's great to have the Super Bowl in Arizona. And then you have the mayor, it's not so great. We're not making any money, blah, blah, blah.
Well, as I said, it was mostly over security and the amount of money it would cost to have the security, but that burden has been relieved. I talked to somebody that used to work for the Glendale Tourism Board, and they told me there's no way you could ever, ever pay for the amount of, not coverage, but every time you see a shot of the Super Bowl, you see the city. Mm. Glendale, Arizona will be featured.
You're listening to the Big Four at Four. We start the 4 o'clock hour in the first 20 minutes by giving you four big blockbuster stories. We're halfway done.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story Three.
Waymo is offering the governor of Arizona a ride in a fully driverless car. Should he accept?
All right, Waymo is the other car service or the other driverless car
the one that
company.
Works.
The one that isn't Uber that struck and killed somebody a couple of weeks ago. If I'm the governor, I follow my policy, which has been stay below the radar. Don't do anything to get me attention I don't need. Maybe behind closed doors or through back channels, I tell Waymo, thanks, but no thanks.
I do the exact opposite. If I'm the governor and I'm bringing these companies in, I get myself in that car and I prove that it's safe. That's what I do. If the governor looks apprehensive, that's not good. If the governor says, hey, we can put these cars on the road, and you've got one company, Waymo, who seems to know what they're doing when it comes to driverless cars, but you've got Uber, where the governor has now banned them from being on the road.
And the governor did invite Uber to Arizona in 2016.
He did. That car obviously was not ready to be on the road.
Right.
But it seems that the Waymo cars are ready to be on the road. So if I'm the governor, I get in that car. I do a photo op. I do the whole thing. I make a big deal of it. This is the car we're allowing on the road. This is the car. This is the company that works.
And
you don't
and
have to be
soon,
afraid of it.
And pretty soon they're going to launch their initial, I guess, rollout, no pun intended, of this driverless car.
I'd get in the car because you don't want to run away from the story. We know.
But
that,
do you really want to choose sides in this story,
yeah,
too?
Choose
you,
the winning side.
You invited Uber, you made the deal,
okay,
and then you're walking across the aisle to the other side.
Yes. That's what I would do.
Ooh.
The Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story Four.
The lava oozing from two fissures is now pouring into the Pacific Ocean, creating a hazardous plume called laze, which is lava and haze. When the salt water mixes with the lava, it creates hydrochloric acid, and experts are warning
it can eat a hole in a cotton t-shirt in a matter of a couple of hours.
One person living in the area has now been injured by flying molten rock, and still nobody knows when it will end.
Lays.
Mm.
L-A-Z-E.
I have no idea how people are still there. They are now under a, you can stay, but be ready in a moment's notice or no notice to leave. I don't know why they just haven't evacuated most of the people that are there on this island, because, my goodness, it's getting worse.
I don't think you can evacuate an entire island.
No, I'm sorry. Not the entire island. You move them away from the imminent lava that's shooting up from the ground, and you move them to a different part of the island. You move them away from Kilauea.
Lays forms when hot 2,000-degree lava hits the cooler seawater.
And like Alex Stone said, hydrochloric acid steam.
Oh my gosh! I mean, I don't know. This is as horrible as this is. Like, you don't want to see anybody die. You don't want to see homes taken down. You know, this lava moves so slowly; it's like taking over cars.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, to watch it, I mean, it's Mother Nature.
It's fascinating.
It really is.
I can't get enough of the actual footage. But when you're talking about people's homes and property and their lives at risk, I'm just surprised
that not something
Hawaii,
you see every day.
No, but I'm surprised Hawaii hasn't said, okay, everybody needs to move away from this to another part of the island for right now.
You've been listening to the Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big Four at Four delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.
All right, coming up, Mac and Gatos pay tribute to a teacher. $1,000 is going to go to one terrific teacher. We're going to give it to this person live on the air, coming up next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Just amazing this month, Mac and Gatos pay tribute to a teacher, and thanks to Wells Fargo, we've been doing this every week, giving $1,000 to a teacher that maybe you've nominated. When you text the word teacher to 411-923 and you tell us about these great teachers, and again, thanks to Wells Fargo, we're continuing doing it once a week this whole month.
This is it. This is the final teacher.
Yeah, for the month, right.
This is the fourth teacher of this month. And we'll continue it when the school year comes around next fall.
Right. So we've got a number of teachers on the line. We line them up, and then we go through and listen to their stories, and then we award the $1,000 to the teacher that we select.
Ooh, I want to pick line three.
Okay, line three is Gary Brannaman. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Gary.
Yes.
All right, Gary, you are a middle school teacher at Sunset Hills in the morning and Ashton Ranch Elementary in the afternoon, so you're splitting your time as a band director.
Yes, sir.
You've been you've been teaching for 50 years?
Next year is my 50th year.
Get out of here.
I can't quit. I have to come back and see what they'll try on me.
When you say they, are you talking about the legislators or the kids?
No.
the kids. Can I ask how old you are?
I'll be 72 this summer.
And do you have a retirement date in mind that you might want to walk away? Or you just, hey, man, I'm 72. I love this job. I'm going to keep going.
If it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it, trust me. And I started a strings program a year ago, and if I teach two more years, then those students will be eighth graders.
Cool.
That's
but
great.
I'm having fun. It's like retiring what? My wife says, no, you're not retiring.
She'll get sick of you if you're around the house all the time, right?
Pretty much.
All right. So, I you know, one of the interesting things, we've never talked to a teacher that has been doing this for 50 years. That's mind-boggling.
That's amazing, Gary. I mean, how do you find – you say it's about the students, but, I mean, how do you
– not pull your hair out by the roots.
Thank you, because we know, and I was in band in school a long time ago, you know, some of those kids really don't know how to play those instruments, and they hit the wrong notes. How do you stand that for 50 years?
Yeah.
Well, I've learned how to get the most out of the kids, and the older I get – I think it's not so much about the music, but teaching them how about to live and how about to survive. There's so many crazies in the world, and I want them to be happy. And I don't want them to play, notes and rhythms. I want the emotion. I want the music to come out. And it's not like teaching in Kansas. It's, I have to teach in my school, 8th grade class, 7th grade class, whereas in Kansas I had them together. So it's a whole different thing. And I teach them separately. I put them together once, and we do a concert, and it's always good.
Gary is joining us. He's one of the finalists. Mac and Gatos pay tribute to a teacher. 50 years in teaching for Gary. If you were to take the $1,000, what would you do with the money?
Nobody ever offers this, so that's a hard question. And then on the other hand, it's not, because Arizona's kind of tough. I would buy music for the band of string students, because it's really hard to music's our textbook.
You mean sheet music? You'd buy sheet music?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
I would, so the kids have new music to play. It's like the administrator would say, well, you have music. And I said, well, yeah, I've read that book, and I don't want to read it every year.
You got one of Beethoven's original, symphonies, right? Yeah, I mean, that's how old this stuff really is, right? You need new sheet music.
Yeah.
Well, you have to find something the kids like that you can hook the kids with. And if I don't like it, I can't teach it. And I try to do a variety of music, and I just tell them, I don't care if you like it. I want you to play it. You can make your own mind up.
Okay, Gary, we're going to level with you. There's nobody else on the line. We're giving you $1,000 so you can buy sheet music for your kids and teach 50 more years.
Oh, wow, that's super.
50 years, man.
I know, 50 years.
I can't get over it.
That's amazing.
Hey, Gary, can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
So you're the band teacher, right?
I teach band and strings in the morning, and my afternoon school, I'm the sixth teacher in a row, and that's been tough.
My teacher in high school for band saw that I could play a little bit of a drum set, and he thought I had a little bit of talent.
Oh, just like people here at the radio station.
Burn. And he let me take the drum set home for the summer. Now, I could only play a little. When I got back after 3 months, he heard me play, and he almost fell down. And so I've got kind of like...
What did he say? What did he say to you?
I've told the story before.
Yeah, he said, I can't believe you can play like that in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Like it only took you literally the summer to learn
it.
How to play. Yeah, you just nailed how to play the drums.
And he was just flabbergasted. And to this day, I'm 44 years old, and I still remember my teacher, Barry Centani, who let me bring the drums home for one summer, and now it's like a passion that I have in my life. I love playing the drums. So I know exactly how the kids feel about you, Gary. 50 years in teaching, you got $1,000. We always want you to at least spend a little bit on yourself. But, man, you deserve it. Thank you so much for doing what you do for so long.
Oh, thank you so much.
Gary,
thank you so much.
You're welcome. Gary Brannaman, he is a middle school teacher, and like he said, he splits time between schools.
Yeah.
Sunset Hills in the morning, Ashton Ranch Elementary in the afternoon, a band director, and he's been teaching for 50 years.
50 years.
Amazing.
50 years. Good Lord.
Buy all that sheet music you can. That's
I think
great.
He's going to get a lot of sheet music.
That's great.
Yeah. Mac and Gatos pay tribute to a teacher. That was the fourth recipient of the month. The fourth.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time ever, we didn't do it once a month. We did four in 1 month.
Thanks to Wells Fargo,
All right. Coming up next, we'll check traffic, and Becky Lynn's got some news. And when we return, it's the empty seat everyone was talking about at the royal wedding next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Mac and Gatos. Arizona's Afternoon News, 92.3 FM. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Oh, there was a big party at my house late Friday into early Saturday morning. Everybody woke up to watch the royal wedding. My wife, her sister, mom.
Really?
Our daughter.
Oh, boy.
Two of our nieces.
So they all came over to actually watch it live, right?
Yeah, some of the ladies in the neighborhood came over.
Yikes.
I'm hearing this, like, shrieking come from, the TV room. I had to close the door, put some earplugs in, you know.
Shrieking because they
enjoyed?
Oh, it
was so romantic.
Oh, I see.
Oh, look at the prince and princess. You know, 29 million people watched in the United States.
You know that beat the college, the college football championship? I had no idea. No idea that it would get that many people. I thought maybe 20, maybe 10.
William and Kate's wedding got 22 million. How did Harry beat them?
How did Harry?
Harry
maybe
beat
because
him.
She's an American?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
Meghan Markle is American. I told my wife, you know, give me like the best part of the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
Morning.
Well, over
whatever.
There. Day,
over
yeah.
there, right. Mm-hmm. And I said, what was it? And she said, they left an empty seat for Princess Diana. And I said, that is awesome.
That's what your wife said?
Yeah, because there was an empty seat. And, you know, they had, you know, Queen Elizabeth, everybody was there, but they had one empty seat. And it was for his mother. And I thought that was really what's with the sigh? It was a cool thing. Oh, don't tell me you're not going to like that. That's touching. Come on.
I would have loved if that would have happened, mm-hmm. but we're dealing with Charles and Queen Elizabeth and a bunch of bags over there in Britain. You know, we had a war over this, you know, by the way.
But it's a nice way to remember.
No.
It's not a nice way to remember
that's
Princess
Diana?
Why
the prince, that's not why the seat was empty. It's not as though Harry said, please leave a seat unoccupied for my mom.
Well, the one was the empty seat for.
Rumor quickly spread on Twitter in the media that the space of one seat left unoccupied was in the honor of the prince's late mother, Diana. Actually... Yeah. The seat was left open because Queen Elizabeth, seated directly behind it, could have a better view of the wedding.
Oh, you're lying.
You can't. And
that is a lie.
You don't block the queen's view because she's about as tall as one of her corgis.
She's 3 feet tall.
So they left a seat open so she wouldn't be blocked.
That wasn't Princess Diana's seat.
It's customary to never seat someone directly in front of a monarch.
Oh, my goodness.
At the 2011 wedding of Will and Kate, the queen sat in the front row, like Bob Uecker, so it wasn't an issue.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, I'm totally with you. If it had been for Diana, what a touching gesture. Instead, it just proves how the royals are just bags.
She always hated Diana.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She let that rumor go on.
She was never accepted into the royal family, and that's why Elton John hates the royals and loves Diana's family.
Good for you, Elton. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Did he show up, by the way? I don't know. I didn't watch.
He didn't walk. Who walked Meghan Markle down the aisle? Was that Prince Charles?
The gross guy.
The gross guy, Prince Charles, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That seat
was not left for Diana.
No.
It was because the queen, feet of her, can't see.
Do not block
her. Let her sit on a big pillow.
Sit on like a cup of stacker corgis and sit on that.
Do something.
Also, it was a millennial reception because the bride and groom and others played beer pong.
That's awesome.
Beer pong.
Now, did Queen Elizabeth do that?
No.
Did she do a keg stand?
No, that was Meghan Markle's white trash part of the family.
Boy, her side of the family is ugly.
Oh, man.
Oh.
It proves that beautiful people come from ugly.
I will tell you.
I mean, really.
I mean.
I know.
They were gross. I know it's terrible. Becky Lynn is looking at me.
I was.
You're so mean, Gatos. But that side of the family, they are ugly.
Mm-hmm.
She's beautiful.
I thought her dad kind of looked like Dave Ramsey.
That's what I mean. That side of the family is ugly.
Boy. Wow. That's why he always says better than I deserve, because he knows.
He knows it.
That's horrible.
So they played beer pong, and they had a royal dance-off.
Yeah.
I heard that the queen was breakdancing.
Break a hip dance.
Right, exactly.
Sad.
Beer pong, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I didn't know this, she's older than he is. She's 3 years older.
Yes.
She's 36. She
is robbing the cradle. That's
she's
right.
They got to have kids pretty soon.
Because she's older. I thought you meant like in succession. He's like sixth now in succession to the crown.
He's done.
He's never going to be king. Not even remotely close. Unless,
that queen made me so mad about the Diana thing. I can't stand it. It's so awful.
I know.
I can't believe that chair.
I know.
She can't see.
And for the only reason to be the queen's view, how bad
is that? What a slap in the face to
exactly.
Diana. I can't even go on.
All right, coming up, we'll give you the latest on a crane operator who is still missing. Recovery, or is it a rescue mission? We'll have the latest on the 5 o'clock KTAR News Expansion.